Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Jon Rahm is gearing up for the Masters next week, but took a break in between his prep to chat with Patrick Peterson and Bryant McFadden on the All Things Covered podcast. We definitely encourage you to check out that conversation. Jon shared who he expects to be in contention with at Augusta and also revisited that epic 66-foot putt to win the BMW Championship in August. Download and subscribe to All Things Covered wherever you find this one.
Welcome back. We're back from halftime. All Things Covered. Patrick Peterson, Bryant McFadden. Instead of leaving the locker room and jumping right back on the gridiron, we decided to switch it up for you guys a little bit. Remember, earlier in the show, we told you guys we have a very, very special guest joining us here, All Things Covered. We cover everything. We talk about entertainment. We talk about football, basketball, baseball, whatever it is. And today, guess what? We're going to talk golf. One of the best golfers in the world, actually number 2 in the world. Arizona State alum. You look at what he's been able to do throughout his professional career. He just recently won the BMW Championship in August. Jon Rahm, nickname Rambo. Thank you for joining us here on All Things Covered, man. You're making history. Before the Masters kick off, you're actually our first golfer on our show. So, man, it's a pleasure having you on the show as you get ready for the Masters.
Oh, my pleasure to be here. I didn't know the first one, so I'm excited. I know Patrick likes his golf, so, you know, I'm excited to see what kind of questions I get on this one.
That's awesome, man. So we're gonna jump right into it. How strange does it feel knowing that you're preparing for the Masters in November, knowing around this time of the year you normally will be in my neck of the woods in Albany, but now you going to a Masters in Augusta in November. How strange is it this year for you?
It's different, but I think it's different because we're all really thankful to be able to play the Masters. You know,
right.
At one point during the year, it looked like it was not going to happen. Augusta closes after April, so we didn't know if it was possible to do it. And you know, getting ready for it, I think it's just more to contain the excitement than anything else. I actually came back Saturday. You know, we're Tuesday right now. Came back from Augusta Saturday, practiced a little bit. And, you know, it's going to be the same. Maybe a little colder, maybe a little rainier. Right. We don't know. But at the end of the day, it's Augusta National. For people that don't know, they can control grass like nobody else can. So I think just containing the excitement and you know, the wanting to play and get it going.
What makes Augusta so special, though? Because every golfer always talk about Augusta is the main tournament that I want to prepare for. Is it the jacket, the course? Like, what is it?
I think it's the history. It's the only major championship that's played on the same golf course every single year. Mm. And I think the history that it comes with, right? I mean, that golf course was created by the greatest amateur of all time, Bobby Jones, the greatest golf designer of all time, Alistair McKenzie. And, you know, it's just some of the greatest moments of the history of the sport that have happened here. And it's uniqueness, right? It's hard to explain. For other sports terms, it's the Wimbledon of golf, right? It's the same thing. It's the tradition, the history, I really can't explain it, you know, besides tradition
it's
and
just
history.
Special.
Yeah, for every golfer, is the one thing you watch every year. I've seen every shot ever played at Augusta. It's just the familiarity with it.
Gotcha.
Speaking of the Masters, Jon, who do you believe is your biggest rival, you know, for the Masters? What name will you be following or paying attention to on the leaderboard?
Oh, man, it's hard to tell, you know, because that tournament fits so many players. You know, it fits so many different playing styles. That's what you get, such diverse winners, and every year is a different one. I would say because of the game we play, it's myself. I'm my biggest ally, my biggest rival, and the one to keep in check, right? So It's me, myself, and I. Now, there's a lot of people playing really good golf. Obviously, it would be foolish to not say Patrick Cantlay, who just won a couple weeks ago. Jordan Spieth, who hasn't played his best golf, is always somebody to take into account. Possibly Tiger, Phil, Justin Thomas, anybody out there in the world, Rory McIlroy. There's so many options. Wow. Anybody shows up and it's just, you know, one good week and they can take it. Hopefully it's me.
Right. Well, I'm definitely picking you to win it, Rambo. You're my choice to win the Masters this year. But we talked about your previous win at the BMW Championship. You hit 66-foot putt to win that championship over Dustin Johnson. I text you right after that putt and congratulating you. But describe the emotions after draining that putt.
Oh, well, if somebody's seen the reaction, that says it all, right? A bit of just hard to believe that it happened, right?
Right.
I played probably best 36 holes of golf I played that weekend in my life. Mm-hmm. I went from playing terribly the first 2 days to completely switching it and making up a big deficit in those 36 holes. And, I actually thought I had the tournament won. I didn't expect Dustin to make birdie on 18. He made a crazy putt. We go on the playoff and I make an even crazier one. It felt like to be on the playoffs. Yeah, it exactly felt like making, you know, just getting a Hail Mary in the last second of a play, just second of the game to possibly make it up to the next round of the playoffs, because it was, right, you know, the week before Atlanta and coming in second seed. So the emotion that comes out of that, because again, it takes so long for the ball to get to the hole.
Right.
10 seconds for that ball to roll all the way there. I can't explain it. I mean, you can, my reaction, it's probably similar to Kawhi Leonard's, I think it was in the conference finals.
Right.
Last year, the 76ers. You know, that shot just bounces three times around the hoop. It's right. Very similar feel to those, right? I mean, except I don't have my teammate talking to me because it's just me and my caddy. And
yeah, right.
Dustin still had a putt to tie. So, you know, right, at the same time, it's weird because I'm happy, but I need to stay in it just in case he makes it again. So,
right.
It was weird.
So when you're standing over that putt, like, you know, you have to make, and obviously with you being a pro, every putt is important. Did you have that feeling or that urge knowing that you was going to make that putt?
Dude, I was trying to keep it inside 6 feet. Not gonna lie. It was such a hard putt. And getting it to the hole wasn't the problem because it was all right downhill. It was giving myself the best chance to possibly extend the playoff. That's where my mind was at. It's like, well, it's what I can do. And, you know, luckily I hit it on the right line and it caught the hole. But you can see, it's funny because when I see the putt, I mean, it goes through all the spots that I kind of see the ball going through, right? I mean,
right.
You know, it goes to the top of the slope, goes to the apex, starts going down. And at one point I freeze because I'm like, no way in hell.
They got a shot. They got a shot.
No way. And it does go in. It's crazy. But my original mindset is, let's see if I can get it close enough so I don't have to stress to make the next putt.
Right.
Yeah.
Man, that's amazing.
Yo, John, so in 2019 Masters, you finished T9, just three strokes off the lead. But as a fan of the game, what was it like to see Tiger capture that green jacket?
Huge. Huge. Because, you know, when I came as a pro, Tiger hasn't been the Tiger that we've all known, right? He's had injuries. Yep. He hasn't been able to play his best. And you know, I'm in the same field as him playing tournaments, but it's tough to not see him contend. And I was lucky enough to be present when he won at East Lake, which is his first win in many years. And to be able to be there and feel the atmosphere as soon as Tiger took the lead on that 15th hole, because I was at the golf course still, and you can feel goosebumps. The electricity going around is crazy. And, you know, not going to get in the debate of who's the best and who's not the best and who's the GOAT or not. In my opinion, Tiger has played the best golf anybody's ever seen for 10 years, right? And for him to come back and win a major 11 years after his last one, after all the back surgeries, all the problems, all the people that counted him out, said he was done, he was never going to happen again, and get it done, you know, with all the people that were contending that day, because you had Brooks come in, you had Dustin, you had Xander, a lot of people that were putting pressure on him. Mm-hmm. And you see that 16th hole, that shot he hit, where it almost makes hole in one, makes that birdie, two-shot lead. It's crazy, right? And I think the most beautiful part out of all is to see the images, right? Tiger won his first Masters in 97 when he was 20 or 21, and he's hugging his dad. Yeah. His four circle, when he finishes, he's won his fifth green jacket, and his kids, who are 11 and 13, I believe, are right there to see him win, right? So, you know, you see right. The circle of life go through, and his dad wasn't there, but now he's the dad as a champion. It was a pretty cool moment for golf.
Do you think he has a chance to defend that 2019 Masters title this year?
Of course, of course. Augusta, I would say, is the one golf course that he's going to have the best chance year in and year out.
Right.
Length is not an issue, right? He's such a good iron player and such a good creative short game player that any given year he can win. I mean, like I right. said, some of the names I've mentioned, Tony Finau, Brooks, and Dustin hit it way further than he did last year. Mm-hmm. But length isn't everything at Augusta National. So it's the one major I think he should be confident he can win. Now, we don't know how he is physically, you know, how his back is going to hold up and how he has. And he hasn't been able to play as much golf as I think he would like. So we'll see. But, I mean, I believe he has a chance, and I hope I deny that chance.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, John, I had an opportunity. I have the pleasure to have known you almost 3 years now and being able to play at Whisper Rock and Silverleaf and see the grind that you put in. Tell the fans a little bit, how did you go from a late commitment to Arizona State to number one in the world in 7 years?
How much time do we have?
We got all the time you need, John, all the time you need.
Well, my story is crazy, right? I mean, I'm coming from Spain. I grew up in a town with 1,200 people. It's a miracle that I play golf, really. And as I was going up in the ranks, my dad did tell me, you know, if you want to study and get your degree, your best chance is to go to the U.S. And that seemed like such a far-fetched dream to me. Now, once I made up my mind of possibly going, I had no idea how the recruiting process worked. I had no clue that coaches weren't allowed to speak to athletes and players. So, because that seems so backwards in my mind, right? I mean, all I've seen, you know, as a young player was different sport coaches and different sports being, you know, people being contacted to be able to play for different teams and whatnot. So I was just waiting for somebody to talk to me, honestly. And the only reason why I got in contact with a coach is I was playing a tournament representing Spain as a team. It's called the European Boys Championship, the under 18. Each country in Europe brings six of the best players, and we play in this qualifying section. And I saw a guy with a San Francisco shirt on, you know. And the only reason I knew San Francisco in a little bit, because besides the movies, is because my grandma had just been to San Francisco that summer. So I strike up a conversation, which happened to be the head coach of University of San Francisco. I start a conversation, which apparently is legal. I have no idea. And he follows me, and I finish 6 under on the last 10 holes. And then I go on to win every single match for Spain, and we win the championship shortly after I had a scholarship. Right. So that was a reality. Now, then Arizona State came in with a very, very late offer. And I think it was in May where I got offered, and I had to be in school in August. And I had no idea. The only thing I knew about Arizona State is, there was a good Spanish history there. There's two girls that are on the LPGA, two girls that won nationals there, and then one Spanish man that actually won nationals for Arizona State, whose name is Alejandro Cañizares, played really good golf. So I was like, you know what? It's good weather, good golf, good history. Might as well go. And that was the only reason why I decided. And my dad put me on a plane, never did an official visit, never been to the States. My English was very different to what it is right now. And yeah, and I arrived at Arizona State. Like I said, I came from a town of 1,200 people. And I go to
wow.
a city that has 70,000 students.
Hey, so John, is there any truth? You talked about, you know, your English wasn't very, very good. But is there any truth to the story that you actually learned English listening to rap music?
Listen, I didn't learn English like that. It really helped understand certain things.
Okay.
The thing that helped me the most with was being able to, you know, to accelerate my thought process and be able to keep up with the conversation. And it was kind of like a verbal exercise, you know, to be able to keep up and get my speed better and pronunciation and things like that. I didn't learn grammar. Because not in that sense, but I did learn a lot of slang in that sense and understand a lot about the U.S., which helped out a lot just in day-to-day basis, right?
So, who were you listening to? What rappers?
Oh, 100% of the time was Kendrick Lamar and stuff.
100%.
Oh, he like He like Kendrick.
So
okay.
Yeah, Kung Fu Kenny, right? So the only reason why I got into it is one of my teammates basically knew every single lyric to every song of Kendrick, Lil Wayne, and many other great artists. And he could rap it at speed and everything, no matter the speed. I'm like, oh, this is cool. And I really just focused, got the lyrics. So my first song I ever learned was Backstreet Freestyle by Kendrick. And I really and I'm like, I'm going to learn this. And I memorized the whole thing, understood absolutely nothing, but I was able to memorize and actually sing it at speed. And that kind of became a fun thing to do, to be able to sing it with my teammates. And it was shortly after I started understanding. But that's, yeah, I mean, that's why it helped me pick up speed. And the main two, it's, yeah, I mean, it's Kendrick and Eminem.
Nice.
That's the main two. But I listen to everything, obviously. Right now, recently, I've gotten extremely into Polo G.
Polo G.
Hey, Pat, can we put John on the spot right quick? John, yeah. I know you handle pressure extremely well, but can you rap us your favorite Kendrick verse?
He said Backstreet Freestyle.
I want to hear you rap it. Can you rap it for us?
Oh, dude, not a cappella. I'm not going to. I mean, you're putting me too much on the spot because I don't know. Being fully honest, I do not want to say the wrong words. And I don't want to get in trouble.
You're not going to get in trouble. You're not going to get in trouble. We make sure we can edit whatever we need to do. But I want to hear this Kendrick come at you.
When it starts, you know, I'm rolling dough with a good grind.
Uh-huh.
I run a hole with a baton that's a really raised with a bouquet. They say, you know, so that whole part, I had no clue what was going on. Like the whole, rolling dough with a good grind. I was like, what is this? You know, what does that mean? First time I read it, I was like, okay, what the heck is this going on? To me, it was just a bunch of words that made no sense.
Right.
Which to understand the aspect of all things right now, it's pretty crazy.
Right. No question.
Hey, you quite get criticized all the time about the emotions that you show on the golf course, which I love. But where do that come from? Like, where does that fire come from?
It's the only sport where getting mad is a problem, apparently. every other sport, you're passionate. In golf, you have anger issues.
Mm-hmm.
Where it comes from, I mean, I think it's just competitiveness, which is the willingness to win, wanting to win, and you know, the not expecting but demanding the best out of myself. So that's what it comes from, and that competitive grind. That's all what it comes from. I mean, love for the game, passion for the game, and the love of winning. You know, it's the whole thing combined. That, you know, miss a shot or something bad happens. I mean, I truly get upset at myself, but it's competitive anger, the best way I can call it, right? I mean, it's just the one thing to win.
No question. We love that. And also, too, Pat, when he's bumping that Kendrick Lamar, it's kind of hard to be cool, calm on the course when you're bumping that Kendrick Lamar like John is bumping.
I have a playlist. I don't know if you can see if I'll be able
What's on your playlist? Let us see what's on the playlist.
I have a warm up playlist.
Okay.
Where. It's cool, yeah. It's pre-round. It's basically if you start seeing the first, all the first songs.
Oh yeah.
You don't get into all the artists until very far down. Yeah.
So
Crack a Bottle. That's the first one. That's not. Actually, no. It's not afraid by Eminem.
Man, this is great stuff, man. John has actually showed us his playlist. There's a good chance this playlist is what you're going to be listening to. At the Masters,
on the practice ring.
Yeah.
So before every round, I have my headphones on, and I always start putting.
Yep.
And I start with it, and sometimes I used to have an order, not anymore. But lately, I've been started. I've started with Patiently Waiting, you know, by Eminem and 50 Cent.
Yep.
Right.
You know, the Watch Popping remix. Start with that, and then just let the playlist go on with whatever it wants. But yeah, that's. Just the songs that I like. I've been doing it since college. It's something that it's crazy enough. I was doing it, you know, just without thinking about it, really just trying to get hyped before a round. A lot of times we had to play 36 holes and we woke up so early that kind of had to wake up and just stuck with me. You know, at one point I stopped doing it and I found myself not being on the intensity I needed on the first tee. So this helps.
Yeah, me and Pat had a discussion about music with our careers, and clearly I'm retired, but Pat talked about some of the things he listens to before he goes out to battle, and I love hearing that from you, because golf is not a physical sport, but you attack the game like it's a physical sport, you know, emotionally when it comes to the physical standpoint. And I really enjoy watching you go off and do your thing too. So give us a little bit, some of that aggression when you get out there in the Masters in Augusta, you know, give us a little, when we see that, we know, you know, you giving us a shout out here on All Things Covered.
See, the funny thing is, Pat's met me many times. I'm so different off the golf course. Like, I'm not an angry person, right? I'm still 25, you know. I'm a joyful kid. That's the best way I can explain it. It says when you're in competitive mode, when just, you know, flip a switch. When it's time to get it done, it's time to get it done. Besides that, you know, you got to enjoy life. And that's a mistake a lot of people make, is judging us, especially athletes, I'm going to say, for what we do on the court, on the field, or on the golf course. And assume we're the same off of it.
Last question for you, John, before we jump into the superlative part of our show. Golf is largely known for having an older, predominantly white audience. And when you look at where the game is going, how would you elevate where the sport is with accepting diversity and actively promoting it?
Yeah, you know, I think it all depends on the countries. I think golf has the stigma, especially in Spain too, of being a higher end sport, right? Especially because in Europe, the people that used to play were basically wealthier people that were in, let's say, higher class society-wise. And if you weren't fit to play, you weren't allowed to play, right? Yeah. And in our case, we had Seve, who completely changed the whole thing. And slowly, you get more and more chances to play, right? Now, I don't know about the U.S. I think accessibility is the word I would use. I grew up going to a range. And when I say a range, it's a range. There's 200 yards and a fake putting green, and that's it. And it's a field with just flags on it that it was €2. So just $2 to get in. And then you just pay for your balls, right? So essentially, it was cheaper than any other place, you know, any country club or any golf course to join and just play and learn how to play. So I think in the U.S., that would be the main thing, right? I don't know of many places, especially here in Phoenix, that it's easy to just go and maybe try the game, right? I think up here in North Scottsdale, you have Cracker Jack, and that's about it. Besides that, it's a golf course you need to join, and it's just tough to get into it. I think that would be the best way. Just have an easier path for people who join, especially, you know, financially, right? It's somewhere where you can just go and maybe pay an entry fee and just practice as long as you want for no time limit. Plus, I don't know if, you know, golf is not culturally or socially accepting. I think we are. It just depends where you grew up and who you're around, right? I think I spoke with Larry Fitzgerald about this once, you know, why he didn't play golf before, because his dad did. And he just told me that, you know, from a young age, you know how to run, jump, catch, and throw. So it's easier to get into basketball, football, or other sports like that. It's just hard to pick up a golf club and absolutely suck at it because we all do it first.
Yeah. All right, we're going to transition now to the superlative part of our show. And this is where we hit you with rapid fire questions. You give us your honest, unbiased answer. This should be easy for you. Favorite hole at the Masters?
11.
Best Halloween costume you ever worn?
I've only dressed up for Halloween once.
Actually, oh, really?
Yeah, you don't do it in Spain. Well, one of them, I was a CSI agent, and then the last time I ever dressed up, I was just, I dressed us up as a baby, basically.
As a baby?
Yeah. I think I saw that. Fire, yeah, I think I saw that. Was that surfing on the web?
For sure, somewhere. My friends probably.
Yeah, I think I saw that one. I think I saw
100%.
That. We got to find that picture. We got to find that picture. Yep. Yeah.
Hey, it's Arizona. It was hot, you know. It kind of worked out.
It worked out. Best nickname on tour?
I'm going to go ahead and say Rambo.
Rambo.
For sure.
Okay.
Rambo for sure. Biggest performance on tour?
Mine this year or anybody's?
Yeah. Yours.
Ooh, mine? I got to say.
Your first one?
On the PGA Tour, it's got to be Torrey Pines. That back nine was.
Oh, yeah. That was the one you made a long putt to win it on that one, too. Yep. Right? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that was I agree. That was a great performance.
I like the 60 footers to win tournaments, apparently.
And also, that was a great breaking through tournament for you as well.
Best celeb athlete golfer?
Ooh, that I've played with?
Yes.
I know.
That you played with, that you know, personally, however, but you know they have some real good game on the course. Best athlete, celeb, golfer.
Well, that I've played, Patrick Peterson.
Okay. My guy.
Uh-huh. Don, since you know you've been on the course with my guy Pat P, could you give us a breakdown of his game, strength, weaknesses, things like that? Fill us in on what Pat P game is like on the course.
So
I just threw that in there, John. So I just hit you with a curve. I just threw a curveball.
No, this is easy. So Pat is one of those players that has so much speed. I mean, being you know, the position you're playing football, you're just strong, fast, athletic. So you have a lot of speed for the amount of golf that you play, right? So sometimes it's hard to control. I mean, for people that don't know, he has, on an average swing speed, he has more speed than I do. Now, what he needs to learn how to control would be the shorter yardages, right? It's easy to hit a full swing and hit it full out and hit it consistently good. As those shots inside 130 yards, would you know, yep. You have to control. That's where you kind of, that when he's to improve. Everything else is good. I mean, he's a heck of a player for being a full-time football player, right? So the day he retires, like, you know, I'm gonna take a guess and say his golf game is going to improve a lot.
Okay. For sure. Well, John, we appreciate you coming on. We know you got Masters prep to get back to. Man, thank you again for coming on. Mm-hmm. We appreciate you, John. And we'll see you in Augusta here pretty soon, brother.
My pleasure. Hey, man, next time we're doing this, if you're going to want me to rap, let me know so I can pick a part that I'm not going word that's insensitive or any F words or anything like that. You know what I mean?
Gotcha. Yeah, I got you.
John, we'll give you a heads up. And if you want to do multiple songs, I'm pretty sure the viewers and the listeners would be okay with that. So we appreciate you giving us what you gave us. But if you want to be well prepared, we make sure we, and you know what, John, I'm letting you know this right now because I tend to gamble a little bit on professional sports, and I'm going to ride with you as well. So when the Masters take off next week, we'll put something on the line. And if I do happen to win, when I come out to AZ, I got you some nice wine and some nice dinner.
Perfect. Got it.
And for him and his beautiful bride, Kelly.
No question. No question.
Yeah. Yes, thank you very much. Thank you.
Appreciate it, John. Right. Best of luck to you.
All right, John. Take care, baby.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.